Remind everyone that this coming Wednesday is community table at 5:30. You're welcome to join us for that service, and we pray that you will. Invite some friends as well. We still need a few items. We have our first sign-up sheet out today. There are just a few things that we need, nothing real pressing, but take a look at it and see where you can help us out and bring some items with you on Wednesday evening. And horse camp begins tomorrow and runs through the week. And thank you to everyone for your generosity. I've got quite a bit of funds raised for that. So if you haven't given or if you've already given, it looks like we're in good shape. But if that's on your heart, you'd like to give, you can still do that. There's envelopes available marked horse camp. Also a reminder that if you'd like to help with the church nursery, we're still looking for volunteers. And the more that we have, the fewer times that you have to help us out in there. But we're grateful to everyone that has already signed up. And Mandy Daniken is doing a good job with that and coordinating all of our volunteers. So thank you, Mandy, for that. And I know most of you have seen Samantha up here singing with us. I want to just welcome her again to the praise team, Samantha and your family. Ben and Sabrina and Ethan, good to have you guys with us today. And thanks for participating with us and singing and worshiping God. We appreciate that very much. Well, if you were not here with us last week, I give you just a brief recap. We're going to be looking at chapter 15 of John's Gospel. And in that verse from John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, we were learning last week about Jesus and the fact that Jesus is the vine. He says that he is the vine. And so we realized that through that scripture last week that we need to remain in Jesus if we're going to bear fruit, that we need to be connected in him, to him, and that you and I, are the branches. Jesus makes that very clear, that we are the branches, he is the vine, and that if we are going to bear that fruit, we must be connected to him, remain in him, abide in him. You get the picture, that we should be completely connected to Jesus Christ, and that we do that in order that we might live out the fruits of the Spirit. And if you don't remember what those fruits of the Spirit are, they're found in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and following. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And when we're abiding in Jesus Christ, when we're connected to Jesus Christ in the vine, he is the vine, when we're connected, then we will be tending to bear those kind of fruits. One of the things that I think we can always look for in a person, in their Christian character, is what fruit they're bearing. How are they living out their faith? What do you see in their lives that exemplifies Jesus Christ? Those are the things that I look for. I know you probably do as well. And we should all try to do our best to bear fruit and to live connected to the vine. But now this week we're going to take a look at a second part of that scripture passage where Jesus continues on and he says, "And my Father is the gardener." So God the Father is the one that tends the garden. He's the one that takes care of it. Not only is Jesus the vine, but God is the gardener. When I was growing up in the small little village of Mowiqua, Illinois, about an hour and a half north of here, we lived on two lots. My mom and brother still live in the house there. Behind our garage, we had a large space of land. And it ran from, if you can picture the vine property, which is right over here behind the parsonage and just in front of the parking lot out here. Our garden was that size. And my dad would have a gentleman come every year, and he would till up that big space for us. And then my dad would decide what he was going to plant. He planted radishes, he planted lettuce, cucumbers, tomatoes, corn, green beans, potatoes. He had strawberries. We had a grapevine. All of these things were planted in my backyard growing up, and it was a family effort. When Dad was out there tilling the ground up in the rows and planting the seeds, my brother and I were out there with him. We were expected to be there, but we wanted to be there to see what our dad was up to. And Mom was in the house, and she would be helping when it came time to harvest some of these things to prepare them. And she would get my brother and I to snap the green beans, to pull the husks off of the corn, and then she would clean it and bag it up, and we had a big deep freeze that's bigger, as wide as this communion table here, even wider than that. And that's where we would store all of the things that we harvested from our family garden. It was quite a deal. I am not a gardener. I did not inherit that from my dad. I wish there were many things that I inherited from my dad in his character and his abilities. However, I remember those days very fondly. But the difference between my dad and me is that my dad was a gardener. He was a good gardener. I am not a good gardener. I don't have the green thumb, as they say. And it's just something that God has not used me for in that way. The difference between my dad and me is very simple. Dad was a good gardener. He researched things, he read the labels on the packages of the seeds that he bought every spring. He knew when to plant them. He knew the type of water that they needed and the fertilizer that they needed. He cared for them. He would go out into the garden during the summertime, and he would pull the weeds, and he would spray where there were weeds where he couldn't get them. And he took very good care of it all throughout the summer. And all throughout the winter, he would plan and map out what it was he was going to do. The difference in the story is, of course, my dad was skilled. He had a passion for it. It was something that he enjoyed. But he had a love for it, too. He had a love for being outside. He had a love for working with the ground and with the crops. He was skilled. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15 that he is the vine. But he tells us and goes on to tell us that God is the gardener. You and I are the branches. You and I are the field, if you will, that God takes care of, that God gardens and helps us with. Our scripture reading for today, oh, that's a nice picture, Katie. That's really nice. That looks good. Good job. God is the gardener. The scripture for today is from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the garden. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. That's a great scripture. Those are the words of Jesus. Now, as I said last week, people in the Middle East would be very familiar with this concept of the vine and the branches. Because if you ever go to the Middle East, or if you've read anything about the Middle East or watch programs about them, they have vineyards there. They take care of a lot of different fruits and vegetables and things there as well. The vineyards there, as I said, the people would know about them because they cultivated them very carefully, because they wanted to produce a good crop. They wanted to be able to use that as a livelihood at that time, and so they needed to tend to it. They needed to take care of it. And so the gardener was one that gave careful consideration to the garden that was planted, to the vines that needed tending, to produce strong branches, to produce strong leaves, to produce good grapes. But there was something else that we found out in this scripture. Not only is Jesus the vine and God is the gardener, but here's the difficult part. He also prunes. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. It is the job of any good gardener to observe their garden. It is the job of any good gardener to cut off the branches that are not producing fruit. Why? Because they can still take up some of the energy, some of the nutrients and the resources that the other plants are going to need. And so if they're not producing anything, there's no need for them to be there. There's no need for them to be part of that plant any longer, part of that vine any longer. And so God, the gardener, cuts them off. This is a difficult process. The pruning process, if you think about it, if you've ever done it yourself, I hope some of you have. We were gone last week, a couple weeks ago, up to Wisconsin to our American Baptist Assembly there. And we came back, and we'd asked the boys to water the flowers. How do you think that went? Yeah, we asked them, you know, guys, did you water the flowers? No, but it rained. But it didn't help. And so one of the plants was not looking good. In fact, we almost pitched it out because it just looked like it was deader than a doornail. So on Memorial Day, last Monday, I spent half an hour, 40 minutes or so, pulling all the dead off of this thing, just painstakingly. The little petunia flowers that are all little, you know, and I pinched those off, and there were some vines that were all brown and gnarly, and I picked them off, cut them off, you know. And the thing still looks pretty ragged. If you go look in our backyard, it's hanging there. But there were no flowers on it when I was done with it. But a week has passed since then, and some flowers are starting to bloom. And so it's kind of nice to see that, you know, I did have a little bit of a green thumb there, and Patty's been watering it, and we just said, well, let's give it one more shot and see what happens. And so now we have what hopefully will come back and be a nice hanging plant for the summer. But obviously, if it's not receiving the right nutrients, it's not going to be healthy. When you're not giving it the proper fertilizer, it's not going to produce what you hope it was to produce or what it was made to produce. And so you have to clip, you have to prune. Things have to be removed in order that the healthy branches can thrive. And so that pruning process, while it may look or appear difficult, it helps. It's good. There are two reasons for it, and I want to share those with you this morning. Jesus says that there are two reasons for it. One is for our spiritual health. The second is because of love. So let's take a look, first of all, at the need for pruning and why it's good for our spiritual health. Now, I will say that if you have gotten away from God, if you are not as close to Jesus as you once were, that this whole concept may seem somewhat far removed from you. You may not comprehend what Jesus is trying to tell us here. But there are causes, there are reasons for this need for pruning in our lives. And each and every one of us here have something that could be pruned from our lives. When we consider our lives, there are causes for why we are not producing fruit, why we are not able to live our fullest lives as Christians. Maybe it's a relationship that we're struggling with. Perhaps you have a bad attitude, and that's holding you back. Those things can be pruned back. You can take a look at those relationships. You can check that sinful attitude. Maybe it's a habit or an addiction that you have. Maybe it's just spiritual apathy. You know what? What's God done for me lately? And so you begin to ask yourselves those kinds of questions. But those sinful things are things that God would identify and prune from your life in order that other areas of your life can grow and strengthen and produce fruit. But in order for us to be able to do that, we must be willing. We must be connected to the vine. We must realize that from time to time, God is going to trim back some of the things in our lives that aren't good for us. And so what do we need to do to get connected to that vine? What do we need to do a better job of? They're pretty simple things. We make things too difficult sometimes in Christianity, and we do so many things in the church that people think, well, I'll never be able to do those things. But pray. Just simply pray and say, God, reveal to me what it is that you would prune from my life. What is an area of my life that needs to be changed so that I can identify more with you, that I can be connected to you more than I have been. Maybe it's that you need to read God's word more and find a passage that speaks to you and read it over and over again and then pray about it and talk with a friend about it. Maybe that's what it is, that you go and you talk to some trusted friend about an area of your life that you're struggling with, and you feel like if you could just get past that, that maybe you could be more connected to God. Whatever it is, we need to commit to God. We need to connect ourselves to that vine and trust God and realize that He's going to prune our lives. Now, not only does God look at pruning bad things, bad habits, difficulties that we have, but there are also some good things. And that these things are not necessarily bad for us, but even good things can suck the energy out of us. And so we take a look at those good things and we can say, are these really benefiting me? Are these really healthy for my Christian walk? Are these really making a difference in the life of the church? We take a look at those things and we say, wow, look at all the energy. Look at all of the affection and the time and the attention. And is it really making a difference? And so I would think that God would take a look at those things and say, maybe you shouldn't expend so much energy in this area, but take a look at this part and do it well. This part where I created you to excel and not do so many things. Maybe it's binge-watching television. Yeah, maybe not a totally bad thing occasionally, but if that's all you do, or maybe it's that fantasy football league or fantasy baseball team that you have this season that takes up a lot of your time. Maybe it's surfing the social media and just thumbing every chance you get a chance to look at that phone and just going through it. Is that really productive? You take a lot of time up doing that. Could you read the Bible instead of that? Or find a Bible app on your phone and scroll those instead? Or find someone to pray with instead of watching that television show? This process, whether it's difficult things, bad things, or good things, either way is painful. It hurts. It represents giving up something that gives us satisfaction, that eases a pain that we might be feeling, something that we're struggling with, and we go to that source, and yet we're never really filled. because it's just temporary. It's just a temporary fix. It's just a temporary feel that you experience. And once that is over, it's gone. So we have to understand that God is the good gardener. God is the gardener that's going to take a look at every area of our lives, the good and the bad and the ugly, and that he's going to prune some of those things. He's going to ask us to consider some of those things. God longs for us to rely solely upon him. God desires for us to be connected to him. That's why we celebrated communion just a moment ago. Because God sent his son Jesus to die for you. That's why he wants to be connected to you. He wants you to thrive, to be your best. So why does he do it? The next thing that we can glean from this passage is that's because of love. It's because he loves us so much. But one of the first responses that we have when we know that God is speaking to us and saying, you need to, you know, look at this area of your life. You need to consider maybe giving this up, this hobby, because it's really not doing anything for you or anybody else. It's not what I created you for. The first reaction we have is anger. We're frustrated. We're sad because we have to give something up, because we have to change. We're so accustomed to the way of life and our rituals that if anything changes, oh my goodness, we're not sure how we're going to react to that. Let's take a look now at the Hebrews passage from chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. And maybe it'll help you understand a little bit about discipline and why God loves us so much. Verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and are not true sons and daughters. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. I don't know about you, but that same dad that I spoke about that gardened our backyard also disciplined me. And I remember some of those times. They were few and far between because my dad made it count when I needed to be corrected, and I didn't forget it. And we weren't abused or anything like that, but I knew, hey, that's what it takes. And I raised my children the same way. Why did I do that? Why did my dad do that? He didn't do it because he disliked me. He didn't do it because he took great pride in it or that it made him feel good. In fact, he said, I don't like to do this. This hurts me more than it's going to hurt you. Remember that? And you're a kid, you're like, yeah, right. For sure, that's not going to be the case. Whatever the case was, your dad or your mom disciplined you because they knew what was best for you. They told you not to touch the hot stove because you're going to get burned. Okay? They told you not to cross the street without looking both ways because you might get hit. These are things that parents do because they love their children. They care about them. And any good father from time to time is going to have to tell their child no. Parents, it's okay to tell your kids, and grandparents, and I need to hear this too, it's okay to tell your grandchildren no. It's an acceptable answer when it needs to be given. Yes is okay as well, but no needs to be said from time to time. Not because you want to take away something, not because you want your child to be miserable, But you want them to know there are boundaries. You want them to grow up to be able to make good choices and be connected to your family and that it means something. A good father, good mother will discipline their children, not because they hate them, not because they want to make their life miserable, but because they love them dearly. They care about them, and they want them to grow up to be good, responsible children. But it's painful. It's painful for the child. It's painful for the parent. But it says in the scripture that that happens for a little while. It happens for just a little while. How much more, then, should we be concerned with God the Father, who tends the gardens of our lives, who is concerned with how we live each and every day? Pruning is a result of God's love for us. Pruning is the way in which we can grow in our spirituality, understanding that God loves us and that God cares for us in so many ways. And it is out of this love that God removes those addictions, those attitudes, even those times where you're doing something that you think is happy and positive, but is it really making a difference in your spiritual walk? You have to ask yourself that. And sometimes then you adjust and you make that change. So I ask you this morning, what area in your life does God want to prune? This may be just, boom, come right into your mind. You may know what it is already. That, you know, God wants me to spend less time playing video games or more time, you know, doing my homework. I know school just got out this last week. Woohoo! School's out. That's good news for the kids. Parents, I don't know. But it's exciting for you guys, and I'm happy for you. Congratulations on another good school year. But what area is it that God wants you to give up? What area would he prune from your life today? I know it's hard. I know it's difficult in my life, but the whole idea of it in that bottom last part of that scripture is God wants you to live a holy life. He wants good for you. Just like a parent or grandparent wants good for their children and their grandparents, God desires good things for you. The question is then, are you willing to allow him in the garden of your life? Are you willing to do his work and allow him to do his work as a loving gardener? Are you willing? And if so, you will continue to abide in Christ. Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener. And God is the one that prunes. We'll continue on this path in the next couple of weeks as we consider more of John chapter 15. But in the time being, I ask that you take some time this week to pray. Think about what it is that God wants you to change in your life and what it is that you might do to better connect with the vine and remain connected to that vine, not just when you feel like it or when things are going bad, but to always remain connected to that vine and realize that when you do, God will show you how much he loves you, and those areas of your life will become clear and clearer that you need to take a glance at and really a hard look and say, I can give that up because I want to serve Jesus and love him more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to hear your word. We are reminded again this week that your son Jesus is the vine. And when he was speaking to the crowds of people, he further said that you, O God, are the gardener, and that you are the one that prunes the garden, and that you have reasons for it. And those reasons are that we are closely connected or closer connected with you, and they cause you love us. Help us, Lord, to connect with you, not only this day, but throughout the coming week. Whether it's through your word, whether it's in a time of prayer and devotion, a conversation with a friend over a cup of coffee, or just a casual talk over the fence with a neighbor that we trust. God, show us the areas of our lives where we can improve, areas where we know that you want to prune, that we know already in our hearts and our minds that aren't good, that do not fit with who you are and who we want to be. Help us to draw close to you, to discern your will, and show us, reveal to us those areas if we don't know, even the good things, so that we can be better equipped to serve you. We pray for our congregation here today, that we may remain strong, that we may continue to reach this community with the love of Jesus Christ and serve those in need. We pray all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.